Acts chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for what we see occur here in the text, especially there at the end as we read that the churches had rest. And Father, we thank you that that's possible even in today's world. Ask for your blessing now upon this time as we consider your word. Help us to take it and apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we ask him. Amen. Well, let me ask you this question as we start this morning. Please don't answer me. I'm going to give you an answer. What's wrong with the church? See why I didn't want you to answer me? We all got our own answers. You know, this church one time was going to get a new chandelier. Y'all heard this story? But this one guy, he was just really upset about them getting a new chandelier. He just didn't feel like, I don't know what his reasoning was. I don't know if he felt like the money should go to something else. You know, sometimes that's the issue in the church, isn't it? They're going to do something and you think, man, that's an extravagance and we could send that money to missionaries. That's reasonable thinking. I don't know what his issue was, but he was upset they were going to get a new chandelier. So they had this business meeting. They were talking about buying this new chandelier. And they said, are there any comments before we vote or any questions? And this guy stood up and he was angry. You could just see it on his face. And he said, don't worry, he's not here this morning. Some of you are looking at me real worried. Like, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I don't know what a chandelier is, and I don't know why we need one. And I'll tell you another thing. When y'all get it here, I guarantee you ain't one of you here who can play it. You ask around a lot, you can figure out what is wrong with the church. To some, the church is way too modern. You know, it's just not like it used to be. It's just way, way too modern. To others, the church is, well, it's just much too traditional. You know, I wish it was just a little more progressive. To others, the doctrine of the church is too fundamental. You know, they'll say things like, all he ever does is just preach the Bible. Way too fundamental in the doctrine. To others, the doctrine is much too liberal. It just doesn't get to the deep things of Scripture like I wish that it would. To some, the music is too loud. Oh, the music is too loud. To others, the music isn't loud enough, and it's just way too boring. I ought to have you raising your hands when I hit here. I'm hitting each of you in all of these. Some people say, well, I would go down there to that church, but the people, they're just mean. Ever said that? And then you'll have people who will say, well, they're nice and all, but they just won't leave me alone. They're too nice. I bet you've even heard of churches with a scandal or even a crime committed within the church or within the leadership of the church. I think one of the best reasons given to not attend church is that someone was hurt there years ago by the church. No doubt we've all been hurt. The church has a lot of problems, doesn't it? I mean, as you begin to consider what is wrong with the church, there are lots of problems. But we can't allow our focus to be placed upon the problems in the church. And today we read a different picture, a picture of a church that was doing it right. Not till the end, and we're going to dig into the other verses next time. But in the other verses, we see that Paul is debating, he's defending the faith before some others in these towns, so much so that he's got to move from Damascus, he's got to go to Jerusalem for fear of his life, and then they send him back home to Tarsus. not an easy time in his life as he's just beginning his walk with Christ, and he begins to preach immediately, I think is what the text says, straightway. And he straightway preached. But in the end, we read that in spite of all of this, the church had rest. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So today I want to talk to you about what's right with the church. There are five examples here in verse number 31. The first is rest. Then had the churches rest. Now this verse begins with the word then. Anytime we see a word like then or therefore or so, well then we need to inquire, like with therefore, we need to ask, well, what's it there for? When you're studying your Bible and you come across these words, you need to go back and find context. That word is there to lead you in from something else. The context of this verse is the conversion of Saul and the resulting decrease of external persecution on the church. You can see that being the case. He was breathing out threatenings. God arrested him on the Damascus Road, changed his life, and then that ceased. No one was as zealous to persecute the church as Saul of Tarsus. But when God saved him, the church had rest. Though rest involves much more, though, than just the absence of persecution. You know, a church can seemingly have peace outwardly, but not have it inwardly. Rest involves the absence of conflict, both outwardly and inwardly, and the presence of harmony. Someone said, a church filled with division will not see multiplication. I don't know who said that, but I like it. If you want to claim it, I'll put your name with it. Consider these two words. Unite. That's a word we use around the church a lot. Unity. Unite. Unite and untie. Same five letters. The difference between the two is where you put I. Where do you fall this morning? Unite or untie? Are you helping to unify the congregation? Or do you create divisions? What's right with the church? Rest. Rest is right with the church. Harmony among the members. I'm so thankful for a place where we can come and find rest for our weary souls. The next thing we see in this verse that is right with the church is edification. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. This means to build up. From this rest came spiritual growth within the church. A healthy church is one with spiritual growth and its members. Physically, we grow through food and exercise. At this point in my life, I grow more through food than I do through exercise, but still, we grow physically and we maintain life. Spiritually, it's not much different. Our spiritual food is a regular intake of God's Word. If you do not have a regular intake of God's Word, you are starving your spiritual man, and it's no doubt that you struggle so much where you do in your life with temptations or lusts or discipline or whatever it may be that you struggle with, because your body doesn't have the spiritual food that it needs to maintain. Someone challenged me as a teenager to read a proverb a day. They're enough to read through one a day for a month, and then you can start all over again the next month. That helped me so much as a teenager. Proverbs is full of what? Wisdom. And I was a teenager and I needed wisdom. Teenagers especially need wisdom today, in today's world. You live in a hard world. Adults need wisdom too, but I remember that I would go through my day and there was something I had read that morning and I would encounter something that day and I would think, well, I know exactly what to do here because I just read it in Proverbs this morning. The Word of God is your spiritual food. Use it that way. Our spiritual exercises, our ministry and service and worship. This church that had some things right didn't use the time of rest to sit and do nothing. They had rest, but in that time they were edified, they were built up, they used this time to grow spiritually. Edification is what is right with the church. Rest is what is right with the church. I'm thankful not only for a church where we can find rest, but where we can be built up. The next thing we see is walking. They were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking involves a way of life. The fear of the Lord portrays an idea of being afraid to offend God in any way. You ever had that moment of breathtaking fear before God? Maybe nobody else knew, maybe nobody else was around, but something happened or you did something or you thought something, you acted in such a way that for a minute there you kind of just stopped and you were taken back. And I don't know about you, but me, when I've encountered that situation, I'll say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have thought that, or I'm afraid that that even happened, you know? Fear of the Lord. Afraid to offend God in any way. A healthy church seeks God's will above all else. Above the will of the members. Above the will of the leaders. Above the will of the preacher. Usually the hardest to overcome. A healthy church seeks God's will above all else. A church that pleases God is a church where the people honor Christ in their thoughts, in their deeds, and in their words. Philippians 4:8 speaks of honoring Christ in our thoughts. Paul writes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Honor God with your thoughts. The funny thing about that is in today's world, that's just way too wholesome. It's just a little too beaver cleaverish. Ah, gee whiz, Wally. That's just sort of goofy in today's world. We live in such a rough and tough world. And in some ways, I guess that's a good thing. But I kind of want to go back to a black and white world. To Mayberry. To Leave It to Beaver. To Dennis the Menace. We have Dennis the Menace around our house. My mom and dad live right next door. We call Dad Mr. Wilson. And Thomas is Dennis. He's got his old bicycle, and he can ride a bike. We're proud of Thomas. When he was 3 years old, could ride a bike without training wheels. It's neat to watch a three-year-old do that. That's amazing. I couldn't do it until I was 30, so this is really something. And for his birthday, he wanted a police motorcycle. Well, I'm cheap. We're not buying a motorcycle. So we found this little thing you attach to the handlebars. It's got a little police light, and it makes the police sounds. Woo, 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 when he goes around. So Dennis the Menace gets out on his bicycle, and he rides over to Mr. Wilson's house, and usually Mr. Wilson's taking a nap. He's retired, you know. And Dennis the Menace sneaks in, and he steals snacks. And he don't steal. He borrows or takes. They're for him. And I like that. White Bluff, this is the neatest thing. The middle schoolers walk home from school. Can you believe this? This still happens in the world. If you're a creeper in here, don't go to White Bluff in the afternoons. I didn't mean to let the word out. This is great. But I drove this week and I preached in Kingsport, went through Knoxville. Ugh, why would you ever want to go to Knoxville for anything? Is there anything good in Knoxville at all? Nothing, is it? But you'd go through neighborhoods, you'd go through areas, and you just realize it's not like here everywhere. We live in such a time where it's hard to honor God with our thoughts because what we see and take in is so wicked. But honor God with your thoughts. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Honor Christ with your deeds. 2 Corinthians 7:1 speaks of this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, there's a legalistic approach to Christian living, and we try here not to promote that. We promote a grace-based approach to Christian living. There's nothing that we've done to be saved, and there's nothing that we can do as saved people to please God. Even our best is filthy rags before God, and we understand this. And living a life of, I'm going to try to do this, and I'm going to try to not do that, as if unto God is sad. It's discouraging a lot of times. But with that, we are still to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. To not pursue holiness in the Christian walk is to say, well, I'm going to stop brushing my teeth in my daily walk as a human being. You can take a bath. You can wear deodorant. You can even try just to use mouthwash. But eventually, people aren't going to want to talk to you because they won't be able to stand being around you because you've not brushed your teeth. I think many of us in our daily walk and the things that we do or the things that we fail to do, we're just sort of like a stench before God. And we come to Him and we say, well, I'm trying to read my Bible and I'm trying to pray, but But you've not brushed your spiritual teeth. You smell. Pursue holiness. And it's not unto God to please Him, but it's because you are being sanctified unto God. It is part of the process. And when you fail to pursue holiness as a part of the process of sanctification here upon this earth, you are fighting against the natural inclinations that you now have as a Christian. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. For me, and I don't know about for you, but for me, cleansing myself from all filthiness of the flesh a lot of times means I don't need to be doing something that I want to do, and so hard for me to cleanse myself because I want to do it anyways. What is it you need to put away? I know that's not popular preaching. I know it's not fun to think about, but what is it that you need to put away in your life? What is it you need to put out of your life? What is it you need to leave off doing? And then honor Christ with your words. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Do the words of your mouth minister grace to those who hear your words? Boy, that'll cause us to rethink what we say, won't it? The things coming out of my mouth do not minister grace to those. I am not honoring Christ with my words. What's right with the church? Walking in the fear of God. The next thing we see in our text today is comfort. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Comfort. I'm glad it doesn't end with the fear of God. Because y'all were looking at me, and now you're all looking down. We get all the verses of the fear of God, and everybody goes, uh-oh. But there's comfort in the Holy Spirit, even when we and this carnal flesh fail Him, and we do and we will. We are striving for perfection. We are being perfected. But we won't live sinlessly perfect. If you are, then you come preach and I'll sit down and you can teach us how. Probably one sin you're forgetting there is lying if you're saying you're living sinlessly perfect. But there's some comfort. The Holy Spirit of God comforts us. This church was walking not only in the fear of God, but in the comfort of God's Holy Spirit. A church where the Spirit is an alive church. When the Spirit of God has departed, there is no more comfort. The preacher can preach, the singers can sing, the teachers can teach, but there will be no comfort if God's Holy Spirit is not there. It will be sounding brass and tingling cymbals. I like a good cymbal in a marching band at a parade. When I'm a distance away, and I like to see them marching and banging, clang, clang, clang. Y'all ever seen the TSU band in the Christmas parade downtown? That's the neatest thing in the world. I get a little of this going when I see them. It's wonderful. But I'll tell you, if they came in here this morning, I'd just go, oh, no, stop. Too small, it's too loud. This is what it is a lot of times when we do not allow God's Spirit to work in us and through us, when we preach or teach or sing or minister in some way to others. It's wonderful in its place, but then at times it's like, oh, I don't want this. But when God's Spirit moves among us and through us, it's always right. It's comforting. This church was alive. The Spirit was there comforting them. What is it that keeps a church alive? A church must live by faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently, didn't want to come out there. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. A live church must live by faith. And a live church must commit to holiness. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Sin grieves God's Spirit. He cannot dwell with sin. And then the live church must depend on prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I hope you pray daily for those at this church. People need prayer. I need prayer. I hope you pray for me. I pray for you. We must be dependent on prayer. We must intercede for one another. What's right with the church? walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we see the last thing is that they were multiplied. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The New Testament church was multiplied. A healthy church will experience consistent growth. And it's not growth for numbers' sake. Not numbers for numbers' sake. But because numbers represent people and people matter to God. We need to reach people for Christ. A healthy church is a church where lives are changed by the gospel, and it is a church that multiplies. In any other area of your life, if you feel like it's a healthy situation, or you feel like it's a good thing, or you feel like it's a right thing, if you feel like it's something that is helping you and will help others, you talk about it. And through your talking about it, other people come to know whatever it is, and they either accept it or reject it, and that's up to them. Y'all want to hear about my newest diet? I'm just joking. I've quit the Krispy Kreme diet. I've moved over to the Dixon Donuts diet. But this is how it works. It's no different with the church. You come and get help. You're going to go talk to others about the help you've received, and they're going to want to come and see. This is natural. A church is multiplied when there's fear of God, when there's comfort of the Holy Spirit, and all of the rest. This is what is right with the church. In spite of all the problems in the church, we can be the solution. We need to follow this model of the New Testament church. Rest, edification, walking in fear, walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and multiplication. So I ask you this morning, will you commit yourself to help build that type of church here? You see, we call this building the church, but you are the church. And the church is no greater than those who make it up, the local church. And it's all based on how you decide to live, how you decide to walk, how you decide to talk, what you decide to pursue, and what you decide to put off. This is what makes our local gathering a great church or a not so great church. So would you commit this morning to help build that type of church? Would you commit to help keeping the church what is right instead of what is wrong? There is no perfect church. You know the old joke, if you do find it, don't join it because you'll mess it up. There is no perfect church. And if you look around long enough, you'll find things you don't like at any church or any restaurant or any store or any house or any spouse or any blouse. Dr. Seuss coming out in me here. Anything in life. You look hard enough, you'll find something you don't like about it. Focus on what is right rather than what is wrong. There's plenty wrong. And sometimes things are wrong and they need to be addressed. I get to not brushing my teeth. You need to tell me, hey, we try to come hear you preach, but you got some spinach in there and it's hard to look. Sometimes things need to be addressed, but sometimes, you ever notice how sometimes things just take care of themselves? My preacher used to determine that he was going to worry about everything he needed to worry about on Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock. He went down to the furniture store. He bought himself a nice easy chair. He set it in his office. He got a notepad. And all week long, he'd start on Sunday, and all week long, he'd write down everything that he needed to worry about, everything that was wrong. And he'd put it off till Thursday, and Thursday at 4 o'clock, he'd get his list out, he'd get in his easy chair, and now I'm going to worry about it. And he'd start on his list. And you know what usually happened about Thursday afternoon? He didn't worry about anything. He just started marking things off the list that were already taken care of there. If you come in every week and all you can see are all the problems, then that's a problem. But if you come in every week and you say, this is what's right, and this is what's right, and this is what's right, it'll work a whole lot better for you. You know, there are three kinds of people. There are those who make it happen. There are those who watch it happen. And then there are those who do neither of those. And then once it's happened, they wonder, well, what just happened? What type are you? I encourage you this morning to be those who make it happen. Let's stand and pray. I think this was a fitting message. We're at a unique time in our church right now. The trustees are done interviewing builders. They're going to be presenting a builder to the church before long and telling us this is the builder we need to use. And we're going to have to spend money and build an auditorium. And things are going to be different and changing and all of this. And focus on what's right with the church. You start building a building or doing anything different much, what's wrong will become very relevant to you. Thankful for God's word. I'm thankful as we see in this church, Saul was giving them just a mess. God saved him and gave them rest. Would you pray this morning that God would give us rest as a church? Would you pray that God would help you to be built up, to be edified, to walk in the fear of the Lord, to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and that God would allow our church to continue to be multiplied? And if you're here today and you're unsaved, all of this is there for you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But you need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to be saved this morning, I can pray with you and show you how to be saved. Others are here who could pray with you and show you how to be saved. I challenge you today to become a Christian.